This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Faces a choice. This is Battleground America. Here's Tara Servatius.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Insane Things Podcast. I'm going to call this the Miracles Are Still Possible edition because just about every one of our insane things this week is a miracle I never thought we'd see. Not in our lifetimes. Want to start with insane thing number 9. RFK Jr. was once censored by the Health and Human Services Agency under Biden. Today, he runs it. For a political dissident, and that's what you are if your government censors you. He was censored via the FBI like so many other people were. For a political dissident like RFK to immediately take over the agency that ultimately had him censored, folks, in human history, how many of the times has this happened? Actually, just a few days before. Yep, because Tulsi Gabbard, another political dissident, i.e. someone who's been censored or otherwise persecuted for their politics by their government, Tulsi Gabbard took over as the director of national intelligence. That's the same level of irony, because just months ago, she was put on the TSA's terror watch list by the intel arm of the TSA. Now, she oversees the intel arm of the TSA. Folks, in human history, once a country goes totalitarian, these things just don't happen. And certainly not twice in a week. Gabbard is now the country's top spy. A lot of people don't understand this. If you ask them, hey, you know, who are the top spies in the country? They think the CIA, CIA director? Nope, that'd be Tulsi. Because the director of national intelligence is over the 16 lying intelligence agencies. You know, the ones who brought us the Russia collusion hoax and so much other lawlessness. She'll see all their intelligence. And that will make America a much better, much more honest place. Had to wonder, though, is she still on the TSA's terror watch list? She had to have a full complement of air marshals go everywhere with her on a plane. It took her hours to get anywhere because she pretty much had to be strip searched. I wonder if they've taken her off that list. I hope so. Insane thing number 8. The Wall Street Journal captured how truly historic this week was with this clip. Elon Musk's glorious rampage through official Washington is like something from a dream. Many conservatives and some Republicans have fantasized for decades about laying off bureaucrats and shrinking the government. Nobody's ever pulled it off, the opinion piece reads. Even Ronald Reagan, the great apostle of smaller government, couldn't achieve in 8 years what Mr. Musk has done in 3.5 weeks. The billionaire businessman is less apostle than avenging angel. The Department of Government Efficiency is the change we've been waiting for. Speaking of the Wall Street Journal, check out this headline. $1 trillion fraud. A rare bipartisan consensus in Washington acknowledges that the amount of theft is massive. How massive? At least $500 billion massive. $521 billion, to be specific. You're thinking, oh, over time? No, a year. $521 billion, that's awfully specific. It's almost as if everybody knew. That's why it only took 3.5 weeks to find this. Folks, everybody has known for a long time. That's why. No wonder they tried to kill Trump. Oh, did I say that out loud? All right, anyway. Insane thing number 7. Some examples of the fraud. Just an outline. Do you remember last week on the Battleground podcast where I read Elon Musk's tweet about the Treasury Department and how he tweeted that the Treasury bureaucrats who are making these payments in the payment system are committing fraud hour by hour by hour, literally every hour, knowing full well they're sending payments to terrorist groups, fraudulent accounts, and accounts that are not authorized by Congress. They know it, but they do it anyway. In fact, the system is built to accommodate it with almost none of the accounting controls that your typical small business would have. The whole system is built that way. It's as if on purpose to accommodate this kind of fraud, so they'll get away with it. Which brings us to insane thing number 7. Just a few of the more eye-popping examples this week. Let's start with the DOGE committee. The mainstream media completely blacked this out, but Twitter picked it up and got it out within 24 hours. The number is staggering. 2.7, not billion, trillion dollars stolen just from Medicare and Medicaid since 2003. In other words, fraud. Here's Trump's spokesperson, Caroline Leavitt, addressing that.
Earlier, the subcommittee headed by Chairman Marjorie Taylor Greene, her and her staff discovered $2.7 trillion in improper payments to Medicare, Medicaid, overseas, mm-hmm. to people who should not have gotten it. Some of this room might have missed that press conference. Can you elaborate on what the president is thinking at this point?
Well, again, that's another example. There's a very long list of the fraud, waste, and abuse that DOGE is identifying on a daily basis. Elon Musk also talked about yesterday about Social Security payments that are going out the door for people who are no longer with us, unfortunately. I would say that is certainly fraud. There's also a lot of contracts they've identified that, just as a hypothetical example, are $1 million, but only 500,000 went out the door. So where's the rest of that cash? And so that's the thing. Those are the things that DOGE is working on every single day.
So like I said, this isn't exactly hard to find stuff. Listen to what Elon Musk says they found in the simplest, most cursory looks at Social Security, which Musk says is paying out between $1 and $2 billion a week in fraudulent payments. Over $200 billion, he says, that he's found so far.
Just cursory examination of Social Security, and we've got people in there that are 150 years old. Now, do you know anyone who's 150? I don't know. Okay. They should be on the Guinness Book of World Records. They're missing out.
The fraud has gotten almost casual. Thursday morning, the news broke from new EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin, who Trump appointed, that he had found the $20 billion dollar. What? Yeah, as it turns out, a Biden political appointee at the end of the Biden administration thought he was going on a date with a cute boy, but it was an undercover reporter for Project Veritas. That reporter recorded him on hidden camera saying that EPA officials under Biden had dumped billions of gold bars over the Titanic to keep the Trump people from getting their hands on them. What did he mean exactly? Turns out he meant $20 billion. They just transferred it right out of the agency in the final days of the Biden administration. Here he is explaining that to the reporter.
Now we're just having to get the money out as fast as possible before they come in and like fuck up. It truly feels like we're on the Titanic. We're throwing like gold bars off the top hatch.
Who are the gold bars going to?
Nonprofits, states, tribes, because it was a insurance policy against Trump winning. Until the Trump people come in and tell us we can no longer give up money.
I do environmental climate policy things.
Really?
Yeah.
It's amazing. Is that here? That stuff is here?
I mean, because I do like federal government climate things. Well, I have been doing that. That might change, but
why?
Because of Trump. So we're going to the EPA. so a lot is going
to change. Amazing.
Don't know if you could make that out. He said it was an insurance policy. He said to throw the money as fast as possible out the door. Well, thankfully, Lee Zeldin was able to at least find the bank that transferred it. He's trying to claw it back. And he's referred everyone involved to Pam Bondi for criminal investigation. Here's Zeldin.
The financial agent agreement with the bank needs to be instantly terminated. And the bank must immediately return all of the gold bars that the Biden administration tossed off the Titanic. EPA needs to reassume responsibility for all of these funds. We will review every penny that has gone out the door. I will be referring this matter to the Inspector General's office and will work with the Justice Department as well.
But that one wasn't the one that churns my gut. This one is. Folks, it's one thing if out-of-control bureaucrats rob us blind. It's another if the leadership of Congress does. Did they? You tell me. One of the categories of illegal spending at the Treasury. And remember how this went, folks. I didn't explain this very well last week. You know all of those officials that got fired by Trump? Well, what they did was call them in one by one by one. His chief of staff did. So like with the Treasury, they called the acting director who had been the chief operator of the system for more than a decade. And they asked him, give us access to the payments. And one by one by one, agency to agency to agency, everyone refused. They were immediately fired or they were, put on leave just to get them away from the payment system because they're obviously, you know, compromised. So that's what necessitated Elon Musk having to have a world-class software team. They had to break into these systems, essentially. They're not breaking in like burglary, but they had to figure their way in without the help of the federal bureaucrats. Trump deputized them to do that. Folks, understand how it's growing. It started with just a team of 12 of the world's best software guys. That's according to Musk and the mainstream media. They agree on that. Musk actually tweeted that. He said, they are the best in the world. They work for me. They have for a while. So then it went to 25. Now it's at 100. And they're now embedded, Trump says, in every single agency as federal employees. There's a team of 4 in each agency now. Anyway, I want to tell you the one that bothered me the most, because this is the one I've got questions about. Here's the number. $516 billion a year in what? Expired programs. The programs simply are expired. As Elon Musk explained in a tweet earlier this week, and as Trump and Musk doubled down on, you cannot allocate money, funding to expired programs. You've got to have a matching federal authorization. Otherwise, it's illegal. And yet, $516 billion went into expired programs in 2024. Once these programs expire, there is zero oversight of any kind. In fact, in some of these, it's hard to tell exactly who to or where the money went. And folks understand, these aren't programs expired by a couple months or something that we just need to re-up. The oldest of them, 40 years. Most, though, expired in the last decade. Again, how in the world did congressional leaders do this? How did they not know this? This is a massive number. Folks, our entire deficit, the deficit's what's making us broke, is $2 trillion a year right now. We print or borrow most of it, okay? $516 billion, that's a quarter of that. And again, once these programs expire, think of it as dropping off the horizon. There's no reports to Congress. Nobody audits them. Nobody monitors them. Where in the hell is the money going? And with expired authorizations, it shouldn't, by law, be going anywhere. So why were Treasury officials sending it anyway? They knew what was wrong, by the way. That's why the head guy at Treasury resigned rather than letting Doge and Musk into the system. If you're still doing the math here, you're starting to see this adds up to something remarkable. $516 billion a year for expired programs. So, bye-bye. Another $200 billion at least. And this is the cursory view in Medicare and Medicaid and Social Security fraud. That's $716 billion a year. And keep in mind, that's before the judges told Doge they had to stop. Folks, that's really close to cutting the deficit in half in just 3.5 weeks, just based on fraud. Remember what Elon Musk told us? He initially came out and said he thinks he could cut it in half, get rid of a trillion of it. He thought it was fraud. And then this week, in the beginning of the week, he started saying he thinks 2 trillion of it could be fraud. Folks, understand, that would add up to $20 trillion a decade on our national debt. Or if you look at it as money we printed, we never had to have inflation. It was all, a lot of it anyway, to pay for fraud. Now, think about this for a minute. Just a couple of things to notice here, okay? Remember how in recent years I've been screaming about how we've gone to CRs, continuing resolutions, where we don't look at anything, we don't cut anything out, we just vote it up or down. They can only do a percentage increase in it, right? They can't remove anything, they can't look at anything. We've been basically passing Nancy Pelosi's budget for years now, even though Nancy Pelosi's been out of power for 3 years, right? Well, then remember the stat from yesterday's Battleground America podcast, the spending, the government spending in since COVID has increased by 75%. Staggering. I played that audio. It's in the Battleground America podcast from Wednesday from Senator Ron Johnson, right? And remember what you're seeing them do. What did they do? Double the size of the IRS so they could hire up to 88,000 more agents and support staff. 88,000. What does all this add up to? Folks, everybody was getting paid. Everybody had an NGO, or they were getting passed through grants from an NGO, or they were sending money out the door. This is why it accelerated like this. This is why they hired the IRS agents. Remember the podcast where I talked about what the Biden administration had planned? They were going to digitize tips, so they all had to be reported so that they could get them from waiters and waitresses. Folks, that is the equivalent of them going into the backseat of your car and digging for the rest of the change. That's the equivalent of them looking at us and going, folks, they're still eating. They're still driving cars. There's more to get. The greed spun out of control. That has been the story of the last 5 years. That's how we got to 75%. Once they learned it was a CR and it'd always be re-upped and nobody was ever going to look, everybody wanted their cut. That's why it got so extreme. They're monitoring us on Venmo and PayPal. Now, folks, I don't know if you have kids, but you know, most people who have kids in sports and activities, there's always a parent buying pizza or something, and then you just Venmo them for your child, or you're the one buying pizza, you know, for the whole group, or buying favor bags or something like that. I do that. I do a lot of that, and I pay a lot of it. I just got my first ever demand letter from Venmo because of my transactions. I think I had like 2 haircuts on there, and they're demanding an accounting of it all. Folks, I don't even know how to do that. It was for Teams and stuff. That's how deep in our wallets they're getting to find every last bit of money to fuel what looks like the most massive fraud machine in human history. It's staggering. Insane thing number 6. Folks, the best cell phone Freudian slip ever from Democrat Maxine Waters.
The people of this country are being violated because all of our privacy is being taken up by Elon Musk and Trump, and we don't know what all they have on us.
Wait, what?
We don't know what all they have on us.
I don't have to recap the week's hysteria by the Democrats for you too much, probably. We don't know what they have on us. J.B. Pritzker, Democrat governor out of Illinois, led the charge this week with the attorneys general suing Trump, all blue state, to stop Doge from digging into the fraud. He was everywhere giving interviews about the horror of it all. Yeah, turns out his family, already rich, was dipped into the pot. Do you know how many federal NGOs, or I should say NGOs that get money from the federal government, the Pritzker family has? 62. Many of them house or provide services for migrants. So you can see why JB is a little frothed over. This led to a previously unprecedented level of hysteria among the Democrats, who, by the way, now have to do their own protesting. Yeah, it turns out they paid for the Summer of Love via USAID. Yeah, a $27 million grant was shuffled from USAID via Tides Foundation to Black Lives Matter. So that $2 billion in damage they did, yeah, you paid for that. Oh, and we're up to $68 million to the mainstream media, which it turns out is state-funded media. So folks, their entire operating ecosystem is being crushed too. Plus, I think there's going to be a lot of them that end up being indicted. Take just this one example from this week. Samantha Power, the head of USAID, which it turns out is essentially the center of evil in the universe. I've got to do a podcast on this. Every bad and horrific thing that's happened, from the funding of COVID at the Wuhan lab, $54 million, to Trump's impeachment, has all been funded through NGOs paid by USAID. Anyway, Trump and Elon had that epic press conference this week, and they promised to name federal bureaucrats, you know, in the coming weeks and months. They're looking into them, they say, whose net worth has increased exponentially. And then Trump says to Elon, talk about the woman making $30 million. Well, that's Samantha Power, head of USAID under Joe Biden. Federal bureaucrats that are appointed like her, they have to file forms with the federal government, disclosures of their net worth. When she began working for Joe Biden, she was worth $6.7 million. She has a husband who's had several very popular books. $6.7 million, her and her husband. 3 years later, on only a salary of $180,000, Samantha Power reported being worth a staggering $30 million. This is a staggering level of criminality and fraud. It's almost unfathomable. It's hard to wrap the human mind around it. So let's try this a different way. This is Mark Mitchell. He's the chief pollster for Rasmussen Polls, and he likes to look at Google Trends. I love that too. So if you want to know, like, who's craving mango the most, for example, you can look who's searching it the most on Google, and you'll get, I don't know, a town in Arkansas somewhere. Well, guess what happened over the last couple of weeks in terms of searches for criminal defense attorney? I'll let Rasmussen's Mark Mitchell tell you.
I was talking about Google Trends. If you search criminal defense attorney, the number one place that's being searched right now is Washington, D.C., by a factor of 3.5 times higher than the next state. And all of those searches started on about January 28th. And that's when the news that Trump was focusing on all of these FBI agents that were going after January 6 people. So here's the thing. It's like, all we've seen is accountability being brought, like potential criminal accountability being brought to just the FBI. And already it was enough to boost nationwide searches for criminal defense attorneys. So they're not going to be able to escape this thing. And it's like, I guess we'll see how desperate they get.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Insane thing number 5. The Democrat Party is absolutely imploding. Their approval rating down in the 30s. I don't even think they care anymore. I think the screaming is to keep them out of jail, to stop any desperate way that they can the digging for the fraud. And folks, if there's one stat this week that showed the absolute unmitigated doom, it's this one. Donald J. Trump's approval among black men is at 42%. To give you some idea, Trump only won 12% of black men in 2020 against Joe Biden. Biden won 88%. Democrats have to win 88% plus of black folks' votes in order to have a prayer. This is a decimation. But it's worse than that. As the pollster Signal wrote, in fact, during much of Trump's first term, he'd have been fortunate to get a 40% favorable overall. Trump's support in a full electorate is also accelerating, they wrote. Now, why was that? Well, for a lot of Trump's term, the social media was censored. We now know by the FBI. And so a lot of his message didn't get through. It does now on X, and that's changing everything. CNN marveled at this week. Yeah, that's how bad it is. CNN's pollster couldn't believe it. Here's why.
In positive net approval territory, a positive net approval rating for Donald Trump. Again, whoa. Entire first term, just 11 days, Donald Trump had a net positive approval rating. Compare that to the second term, just so far, every single day of Trump's second term so far, he has been on the positive side of the ledger. 21 days, all 3 weeks. That's already 10 more days than he was in his entire first term. So again, this is just another sign that Americans are far more likely to like what they're seeing in his second term than they were during his first term.
Insane thing number 4. After Musk retweeted a copy of the Pentagon, you know, the Department of Defense, the military's expenditure notation. So this is their internal documents showing that Reuters, the news service, was paid $9 million by the Department of Defense over a couple of years, starting in 2018, for, quote, large scale social deception, unquote. So it's confirmed the mainstream media's reporting is designed to control and deceive the American people. Even the Pentagon thinks so. But after Elon Musk tweeted the copy, the receipt from that, Trump demanded that Reuters give the money back. Now, he said, it wasn't the only attempted clawback this week. I mean, in addition to the $20 billion from the EPA they're trying to get back. No, the most epic this week was the $59 million that somebody inside FEMA, four of them we now know, sent behind Donald Trump's back to pay for that luxury hotel for illegals in New York. Now, Trump had issued an executive order freezing that money. So this was total insubordination. And right away, after the payment went out, Kristi Noem, our Department of Homeland Security chief, threatened to hunt them down. They did. They found them and suspended all four. I don't know if they're going to be fired or what, but I know they're at least suspended. $59 million a week we were sending. That's just to house illegals just in New York. But what's so fascinating is where they were sending it, according to Kristi Noem. The Roosevelt Hotel in Midtown Manhattan, which also happens to be owned by the Pakistanis, but that's another story entirely. It's known, according to Noem, as the operating base in New York, not just for illegal immigrants, but specifically for the gang Trende Aragua. But it's got another source of fame, too. Do you know who once lived there? The killer of Lake and Riley, who is also affiliated with the gang Trende Aragua. There was testimony about that at the murder trial. He got life. By the way, he lived there as well as his illegal immigrant brother, who's also affiliated with Trende Aragua, and another illegal immigrant female. Anyway, Kristi Noem managed to claw the money back. But folks, they've already wasted so much of it. According to New York City, which begged the Trump administration to give it back, they have helped, using the same FEMA grant in the past, not just the last week, but in the past generally, over 184,000 illegal immigrants to leave the city shelters and stay in luxury hotels at your expense. Folks, that is a level of the robbery. And this is, folks, this is just the FEMA money. I am certain there are more of these funds scattered throughout the federal government, which, by the way, brings up another thing. Do you remember how Lake and Riley's killer, his brother and their illegal immigrant girlfriend, made it down to Georgia to kill Lakin in the first place? Free, federally funded flight. The roommate, the female roommate, testified that about that at the trial. She said, yeah, the government just pays for it. And, you know, if you want to leave, you could just fly down there. So we just did. We flew down there. Has anyone found that program yet? Because I'm not sure if loading Trende Aragua illegal immigrants or God knows who else under our flights at government expense is a good idea. And since I haven't heard about that program being suspended, I'm just kind of wondering if they should look at it. Folks, you got to love the Democrats. You got to love the government under the Democrats. They won't just house your Trende Aragua gangster killer. And by the way, folks, remember when they flew him down to Georgia? He was awaiting either trial or a plea bargain, adjudication, basically, on criminal charges in New York. So, in other words, this is the federal government, the Democrats, helping an illegal abscond, flying him down to Georgia to his murder victim. Anyway, the story has a happy ending because Noem clawed the money back. We got it back before they could spend it. Insane thing number three. Pam Bondi is not messing around. Neither is Tom Homan. And look, folks, part of the reason we ended up with Lawfare is because the Republican leadership in the Bush era, the Bush recruited Republican leadership, taught the Democrats that they, not Republicans, they were uniquely able to violate federal law. And the issue around which they did that was sanctuary cities. Republicans made sanctuary cities untouchable. Democrats didn't do that. We allowed it. And it was from there, folks, if you look at that, it was really in the 1970s, you began to see as that spread from one or two all over the country and Republicans went, OK, yeah, sure, that's fine with us. That was the basis for the beginning, not just of Lawfare, but this idea that Democrats don't have to comply with federal law. Well, they do. And keep in mind, as they scream, yell and whine about illegal immigrants, if they want to keep the illegals that they have, if they want to let illegals in, they just change the law. But funny, that's the one thing they won't propose doing. They think, as Democrats, they should have a special and unique ability to break laws they disagree with. But why don't they simply change them? Why don't they simply propose these changes? Because they know they'd lose even worse than they do now at the polls. Well, this week marked an end of a 30-year era. Really, the last 15 years is when these sanctuary cities have taken off and it's become pretty much everywhere that's blue. With Pam Bondi announcing charges. These are civil charges, but they apply individually in New York to the head of the DMV there. That's key. To the governor and also to the attorney general of New York. Why the DMV? Folks, something happened this week that was so important. Did you see this? And by the way, Republican governors all over the country are pretending they didn't. Ron DeSantis asked Trump, let me deputize my law enforcement in the state of Florida. And Trump did. So it took legislation in Florida. It passed. He signed it. And then it took an act for Trump. This allows local law enforcement to round up illegals and to deport them. Wait a minute. You mean Republican governors everywhere could do this? Yeah. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signed new legislation, by the way, going a step further, requiring Florida law enforcement agencies to help Trump's deportation and providing more funding to work with ICE at the local level. So, folks, the gig is up from two angles. Where what's been happening for many years is that liberals, the ACLU, will sue local police departments that try to enforce federal immigration law and say, no, you don't have the ability to do that. They could have always had the ability to do that. All the president had to do was deputize them. But everyone, including Republican governors, like our own Henry McMaster, who's studiously ignoring what's going on in Florida, so he doesn't have to do it. Republican governors could have always done this. And it would ACLU proof us. But they've been playing a game, pretending their hands were tied, pretending that their officers couldn't be deputized. So Florida's gone first. Notice the deafening silence from America's other governors. Shame. Shame on them. And so what this means is that their officers, thanks to existing case law, can't touch these illegals. But that could be changed within about a week and a half. That's what it took Ron DeSantis and Trump to get this done. So shame on our governors. But they're applying pressure from the other end, too. Did you see this? Tom Homan, Trump's deportation czar, just announced he has referred Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez to the Justice Department for criminal investigation. Her office has been helping illegals evade federal law enforcement. That is illegal. That is actually a crime. And then this week, Attorney General Pam Bondi said, listen, we are coming for every sanctuary city. We are going to be filing these civil suits. And if you actively impede ICE, criminal charges. This is what has to happen on two levels. Number one, to combat illegal immigration, make it hard for them to exist here, but so they'll go home themselves. But it also has to happen to send the left a message. It's going to take them a while to learn it. The law applies to you. You don't get to break it if you don't like it. If you're elected, you could change it. Go ahead and file the bills. Let's have a vote, but you don't get to break it. Folks, it is critical that they relearn this lesson. Insane thing number two. There's been a lot of coverage of how slow, relative to the size of the illegal immigrant population, Trump's deportations are. And I've told everyone, look, he is hunting the most dangerous. Those who are terrorists or SIAs, which means they have connections to terrorism, internationally wanted criminals and convicted criminals. Those guys are going to be harder to catch. It's going to take more time. There'll be fewer bodies deported to show for it. But folks, I've been saying for a long time, we've got to get out of this mentality that we have to find every illegal and deport them. And we've got to get into the mentality that we're going to cut off their supply lines. Folks, Center for Immigration Studies, remember the Battleground podcast I did on this? Did a survey and discovered that a majority, just over 50% of illegal immigrant adults are not working in the U.S. That's because there's no jobs for them. And why is that? Well, it's because we continue to support them. Well, we found some of that support this week in the $59 million a week we were spending on that luxury hotel to house illegals in New York. I already talked about that. Well, we just found this other fund, $22 billion in grants out of Health and Human Services. They're not even supposed to deal with illegal immigration. Listen to the outrage here. And folks, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, I got a text from a guy in construction who was a contractor. He said, I can't compete with these illegals. They literally just got here. They don't even speak English. They said they're all driving brand new cars and they've got brand new equipment better than me and they can underbid me. In other words, he seemed to think they hadn't paid for their equipment. He wasn't wrong. And now we know how. Health and Human Services splurged more than $22 billion on grants for migrants. Folks, you cut this magnet off, they'll go home. Listen to what they were getting, okay? Dollar for dollar matching savings plans to buy cars. So you got $2,500 for your down payment? Well, they'll match it. You want a down payment for a home? They'll pay half. College? Yep, dollar for dollar matching savings plans. The worst, though, is the business startups. So you take $5,000 out on a credit card, they'll give you another $5,000. And then on top of that, they offered $15,000 forgivable business startup loans. This is why they all have brand new trucks and brand new equipment. They're putting U.S. contractors out of business. And listen to this. What if the illegal immigrant has bad credit? Well, no big deal. We'll give you $1,500 in taxpayer cash for credit repair. Pay off your bills. Free emergency housing support. So that's where you fill out a form saying, I can't pay my rent, and the American taxpayer pays it for you. These are illegal immigrants. Free Medicaid, free health care, and free legal help. Folks, that's just one fund. I guarantee you these are scattered all over the federal government. They are in utter outrage. The New York Post broke that one, by the way. So, folks, when you cut this cash off, this is why they're coming here to get this. You cut this off, you cut off their means of support, they will go home. They never even have to meet Tom Homan. Folks, do not be surprised if we get to a point as we dig all this out. And this is why they can't let Doge and Elon Musk go through these agencies. They are trying to protect their voters and keep them here. They were never here because they wanted a better life and to work hard. The immigrant story, they were never here for that. They're here for the freebies. And think about this, these programs, folks. These are not for immigrants. They're for illegal immigrants, creating a preferred immigrant class because the Democrats believe they'll be voters one day. So, folks, I'm telling you, a time is coming when illegals will bring themselves, to the airport to board the free flight Trump is offering them on Pentagon planes. In other words, they will turn themselves in and leave. But it is critical that Elon Musk and Doge be allowed to continue to root out these programs. But we found this one this week. Folks, that's two programs this week. Now we know they're out there. Now we're looking. We're going to get them all. And my bet, let's see how close I get. Future Battleground America podcast. My bet is we're spending somewhere around $500 million a month on illegals. It may go all the way up to $1 billion. The numbers, though, will stagger the mind when we find them. This, folks, is why you struggled to pay for food with 29% food inflation across the board so that an illegal could get a free truck and some lawn care equipment to put an American out of business. Finally, insane number one thing. Number one, folks, yesterday was truly an historic day. The end, finally, of an era. The end of the NAFTA era, the end of the reign of terror that started with Daddy Bush. A lot of people think NAFTA was Clinton. It wasn't. He inherited it and all the work that had been done by Daddy Bush to destroy our borders and export our manufacturing under the theory that we would no longer have borders. America would no longer have sovereignty. So it wouldn't matter where in the world something was made. Folks, take a drive through the rural areas of South Carolina where I live, and you can see the decimation. You literally can physically see it in these mill towns. And Trump's primal scream of rage was heard yesterday around the world. He did something so badass, it gave me chills. Folks, standing on the stage right next to Prime Minister Modi, right in front of him, he announces reciprocal tariffs and he shames India for the way they have treated us. And folks, they deserve it. Think about this for a minute, okay? The outrage of this. Americans probably think of India as kind of like, one of our allies. Really? Because Prime Minister Modi stood side by side with our worst enemies on earth, China and Russia, and declared war on our currency, both to sink it in terms of encouraging other countries not to trade in it and to replace it with their own. What in the hell were they thinking? Folks, this is how out of control these folks are. Because let me tell you what, we buy 20% of what India manufactures. China buys 3%. They're so convinced that we're chumps that they go all in with China to keep the 3% going, thinking we're so stupid that we'll continue to allow them to do this. And plus, folks, putting tariffs on us that we don't have on them, who in the hell do they think they are? And that's essentially what Trump did yesterday. He humiliated Modi on the world stage, politely. And you should see Modi's face. He had to stand there with that fake grin antique it. As Trump flat out says to his face, I don't care what India does anymore because we're doing reciprocal tariffs and reciprocal trade barriers. So that could be taxes, other things that they do to us. Whatever you do to us, we're going to do to you, buddy. Folks, he's not going to last a week. 20% of the economy, he's already getting the desperate phone calls. Oh my gosh, I got a shipment supposed to go in. These are supposed to go on in April, by the way. So you're really going to begin to see this in April. But take a listen. Keep in mind, he said this in front of Modi.
They've been very strong on tariffs, and I don't blame them necessarily, but it's a different way of doing business. It's very hard to sell into India because they have trade barriers, very strong tariffs. We're going to have the same. We're going to have whatever India charges, we're charging them. Whatever another country charges, we're charging them. So it's called reciprocal. We see a tremendous future for our country, but we felt that now it's finally time after 45 or 50 years of abuse.
Terra Servatius. Please subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. Share with friends, family, and other free thinkers. Thanks for listening.